Welcome to this session with Doug Addison. Doug is an international conference speaker, author, life coach, and stand-up comedian. For more information about his life-changing seminars and books, visit www.dougaddison.com. And now, here's Doug.
Hi, Doug Addison here with Spirit Connection Live, May 7th, 2014. Welcome, everybody, and I can see we have a full load on our website. I'm so sorry. Those who are joining late are probably not going to be able to get on, but be praying. I don't know what's wrong. We need help. We need prayer because every other month our website either crashes or goes down. And when we get about 5,000 people loading. So anyway, here we are. Welcome. And if you can't get on, then you'll be watching the recording. And I'm just excited for the prophetic word I have for this month and a powerful time I had in the last 2 days, just with the Holy Spirit and angelic encounters and things like that. So let's get it going. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all the things you're doing. I just ask now that all the website would work, everything would come up to speed. We just ask, God, for all the anointing to flow tonight, everything that's needed. We just ask you, your presence, your Holy Spirit, angels, your prophetic anointing, everything just to open up right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're listening to the recording, too, or the podcast, we want to welcome you. My website's dougaddison.com, in case you don't know, in case you listen to this later. And I'm going to go into some things a little bit later in the broadcast. We do this the first Wednesday of every month, been doing it for a number of years now, and we just really appreciate all of you who have been following. I have a prophetic word, first of all. Wow, let's start it out. Prophetic word for May 2014. May's a time that new things are going to spring forth. And we're going to see things start to come together and watch for doors of opportunity to start opening fast or suddenly is the word I got. Watch for the doors to open suddenly. We're entering into an absolute new time where things are going to happen suddenly. Webster's Dictionary defines suddenly as without warning, abrupt or quickly. Well, don't say you haven't been warned, because I'm warning you now that things are going to happen abruptly. They're going to happen quickly. Thus saith Webster and the Lord and me. And I'm just announcing this right now so you'll just know to get ready. I'm not really a get ready type of person, but this is a get ready prophetic word. I don't usually say get ready because I like now words, you know, but this is definitely a get ready because we're going to see some sudden change begin to happen, and it's going to be absolutely exciting. And so I had an angelic encounter on Tuesday of this week, May 6th, about 1:30 a.m. Yeah, I always tell God, I joke around with God and say, you know, you don't have to get dramatic on me for crying out loud. I listen to your voice. I journal every single day, you know. You don't have to get dramatic and wake me up at 1:30, you know. But, you know, he will do that. God will do that, especially if, like, there's an angel in town. Well, the angel that's not going to be awake at 5 or 6 a.m. my time. And if God's going to do something, he will do it. And that's what happened. I was awake, and there was a presence of an angel, really, really strong presence. I got up from 1:30 to about 4 and did some journaling and praying. But some people ask, did I see the angel? Did I hear it? What happened? You know, and if you've been around me long enough, I teach on this, actually, just how to understand angelic encounters, how to understand what's what, you know. And I saw flashes of light the entire day, and I felt the presence of an angel, the presence of the Lord. So, you know, this particular one didn't reveal itself and didn't, you know. I had an angel tell me once, because I asked an angel that I had this encounter with a few years ago. I said, why don't you show yourself? And they say, well, we don't want to disrupt with what we're bringing in from the throne. We don't want people to be distracted, because they come in with their glory, and it will distract you. So that's why angels stay cloaked most of the time. And sometimes I see them, sometimes I don't. But this one, you know, I've been journaling for years, by the way, and I now, because of the journaling, I've trained myself to discern, through the Holy Spirit, of course, but I've trained myself to discern the difference between an angel, the Holy Spirit, or anything else. You know, most people can't tell the difference between God and themselves. I'm trying to discern the difference between the different things that come into the room and the shift, and you can do that literally. I've been journaling 365 days a year, and after every meeting, after every experience, so that I know what it feels like, what it felt, you know, what did it feel like, what did it smell like, what did it taste like, and that way you sensitize yourself to the things in the spiritual realm. So this particular angel came in, very similar encounter that I had 2 years ago. Now, I didn't know this until today. I started journaling, going back through my journals. I said, my goodness, I remember something about this. And sure enough, 2 years ago this month, I released a prophetic word on my blog, DougAddison.com. You can go to my blog and you can do a search on the word wind of change. Not winds, but wind of change. And the prophetic word, I had this encounter in 2012, 2 years ago, and I had this encounter with an angel in while I was in Denver, Colorado, and this angel was bringing about the wind of change, and it was a little different than the winds of change. Now, I don't understand what the difference was, but this was definitely different. And this experience I had 2 years ago, which, by the way, I thought it was kind of funny, I had it on 420, April 20th. I had it on 420 in Colorado, for those who know that they just legalized something in Colorado, and I had an encounter on 420, that over the head of some people out there, but I thought it was so cool that God gave me this encounter, and I released the prophetic word in May and got a huge response. And so the wind of change is back. But in 2012, I had this vision in a dream. I mean, this was an intense encounter while I was in Denver 2 years ago. And a wind came, and I saw it come and absolutely blow things, blow boats over, blew into a building, blew things everywhere. And those who weren't prepared for it were actually displaced. But there were people who were prepared, you know, and I was safe. I was in a building. As many people were safe, but it brought sudden change. And there was a divine realignment. I want to tell you that prophetic word, when I released that 2 years ago, I got more response, really. It was one of those higher response words that I've released. And so God said this. He said he's doing it. This is like the return of the winds of change, or this is the fulfillment of the wind of change that's going to happen right now. And things are going to begin to divinely align. Those who have been told by God for a number of years to wait for a long time, you're going to be released. God is breaking through with this wind of change. He's breaking through discouragement, depression, suicidal thoughts have been around, and those things are going to be broken off you. Self-sabotage is going to be broken, and I just want to release now. God, we just release in the name of Jesus the wind of change to be able to do its work in our life, just like you're doing with me right now. We're experiencing the wind of change, and we're excited. In Jesus' name, release that now. Now, what's the difference between the winds of change, Bob Jones, Paul Keith Davis, released a prophetic word in 2001. In fact, I was just with Paul Keith Davis in, I think we were in Michigan. We were in Michigan just a couple weeks ago, and he released the winds of change. And man, I got hit, I tell you. I got whapped on the floor, and I know about those prophetic words. I don't know. This particular angel was not the same. It was a different encounter. But the same thing, something wild is going to happen. I think God is sending the winds of change, the different types of angels that are going to come in and help you into this next season. I had a dream just a few weeks ago. I dreamed about the Windy City, Chicago. It was a prophetic dream. I was living in a high-rise building. And firemen came in from the TV show Chicago Fire. Now, a fire was blazing, it was blazing on the top of this high rise. And Herman and Mouch, if you watch the show, but Herman and Mouch came in from Chicago Fire and say, "Well, sorry, everybody, you know, the fire got out of hand." You know what I'm saying? And it sounded like it was Chicago and New Jersey combined, but don't want to offend anybody from Chicago. But you know what? Mouch and Herman come in and say, "We couldn't contain it. You know, you got to evacuate." So the word was they got to suddenly evacuate. Here we go again. The winds of change are coming, because what happened is this fire was like being blown by this wind, and it was really just going to engulf the high rise, which is talking about the higher calling that God has for you, and that he's breaking out the Holy Spirit right now, and there's going to be some sudden change. But God spoke to me today about this, a little bit more about this, and the Holy Spirit said, "Hey, Watch for Chicago. Something new is going to happen in Chicago. And so, Father, we pray for Chicago right now. Release the winds of change there, the wind of change. Release the fire and release whatever it is that you're doing. It's outside of the box. It's at the top of the building. You know, it's not the ground floor. It's at the higher level. God's calling you up. He's calling you up right now. And, oh boy, you'll want to call someone from Chicago, that area. It's a whole Chicago region. And tell them about this, to grab hold of it, get the intercessor praying, because we're going to see something happening in the north and the south, just like last month, I think it was, at Birmingham. We're going to see something in Birmingham, and this month I really feel it in Chicago. And so, Father, I thank you for that, and we just ask you to release something new. Yeah, I had another prophetic dream in April, and it was about being flexible. As God releases new things, we want to be sure that we're flexible. So this dream was, I was having to bend in all these different ways, all kinds of positions, and God spoke to me, it's time to be flexible, and this is a time of shifting paradigms. We're moving into a new era. Check this out. This is not a season. This is a new era. And an era is beyond a season. It's a time where things shift on a global level, on a church-wide level, on the earth level. Government, all the different areas, education, all the sectors that we're going to see massive change and massive sudden shifting happening. Now, for a number of years, Christians have grown more and more intolerant. I don't know if you've noticed that. Many become too hard or stand too hard for the truth. They begin to wound the very people they're called to love. And in the New Testament, Jesus, he was the one who was flexible. Did you know the Pharisees understood the truth? They really did, but they got intolerant, and they lacked the ability to love. They lacked grace, and Jesus came and blew them away. Just blew it away. Did you know that he bent the rules? You know, he got people back to God's heart. Jesus, a good example of it, is in John chapter 4, when he hangs out with a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. And check this out. He hung out with people all the time. He hung out with people who were drinking and having parties or considered sinners. He was even accused of being a drunkard himself because he was flexible, because he was tolerant of people around him, not of necessarily of their lifestyles, but he loved them. He loved what was going on. There's a difference. We have to divide this out and love people. And he did things that blew people away. Like, again, he on John 4, the example, he's talking with a woman, and that's against the rules. You know, you're not supposed to, a Jewish man was not supposed to talk to a woman. She was Samaritan, and at that time, the Jews did not associate with the people from Samaria. So there he was breaking the rules again. Then we find out in John 4 that she had been married 5 times. She's living with a guy. She was an adulteress, and the law would have said that she should have been stoned to death. Instead, Jesus, you can look it up for yourself, he says, what you said is quite true. He didn't judge her. He called her honest because he said, at least you're honest, basically. And nearly the entire town of Samaria came to Jesus that day. I know people are flipping open their Bibles right now. What the heck? I thought he was judging her. If he would have judged her, he would have said, away from me, you adulterous woman. He would have been intolerant. He did let her know that he didn't approve of her lifestyle, but you know what he did? He drew her in and found the good thing in her. And when he said, the fact is you've had 5 men, and the man you now have is not your husband, and you know that this was him showing, wow, she's at least she's honest. He found the gold. He was able to be flexible. We need to do this today. We are suffering today from being too harsh and being intolerant. And so the fact is that we're one body. You know that we are one body. And I've got a prophetic teaching that it's been really heavy on me for a while. And I've never really talked about it, but I've been kind of holding it back. But I heard the Lord say today was a day to start releasing this more, which I'm not going to go out on a big campaign about it. But if you've been around me, have been in any of my live events, or been around the webcast or anything, or listen to my writings, you'll know that I talk about love. I talk about loving people. I talk about finding a way to connect with people. We really need a new strategy right now. And I think that all the hot buttons that are out there, you know, the hot buttons are the things that you're not allowed to talk about in church. When I bring them up, when I go speak at a church, I get in trouble. I get, you know, and they're the real things that people really want to know about. And the hot buttons, you know, probably would be abortion. is a hot button. Who's the president is a hot button. The gay and lesbian community would be a hot button. Same-sex marriage would be a hot button. And certain ministers who've gone through divorce would be a hot button. All these things that let's just get real here. And God wants to draw everyone in. And I think that we need a new strategy right now. And I've been praying for a new strategy to be able to reach people. And I think that one thing that we have to start when God is going to do something new, we have to start at home. We have to start in our own house. And I believe that God's going to do something in the house of God right now, in the church, in the churches everywhere. I'm saying the church with a capital C, the church in general. And I love the church. I don't know if you know this. I still hang out a lot in churches. In fact, I do everything in the context of a church. And we've started new ones because there's a lot of them that are wounding people. There's a lot of them, knowingly or unknowingly, inadvertently or whatever, are wounding people. I know this because when I do tattoo interpretations, dream interpretations, I show people how God's speaking through the different things in their life. They tell me these horror stories about going to church, and I have to ask forgiveness. People ask me, people get around me and they see me do these things on the outreaches like the tattoo interpretations. I spend more time apologizing. I used to be into apologetics. I'm now into apologizing for what Christians have done to many people. And you can quote me on this. It's a quote that I have. It's called, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but I am ashamed about how some Christians share it." And it's time that we now start sharing love with ourselves first. And this is the message I have right now. And it's about the revelation Paul had in Romans chapter 12 and also 1 Corinthians. He talks about this, the fact that we are one body. And he uses a symbolic or a prophetic comparison of the church being a body, or the body of Christ, or the body of people. You'll hear people talk about the body of Christ. I know if you're not a believer, or if you're not a Christian, or don't know church, if you don't know Christianese, I always thought it was weird when I went to a church and they started talking about the body of Christ. I'm like, what? Where is he? But it's really meant to be the church in general, because we're made up as a body. And so when one part is sick, the rest is sick as well. Did you know the Protestant Reformation in 1517 brought the necessary change to the church, but it also brought over 33,000 different denominations? That was on Wikipedia anyway. And there were good changes came out of it, but there was major division that happened. To me, it was sad in a sense that we started suddenly had dividing walls, and God wants to break dividing walls. I kept hearing that worship song in my head, break dividing walls. John Wimber once said that in our quest for doctrinal purity, we no longer treat other Christians the way God wants us to. God is calling us to unity and oneness. Romans chapter 12, verse 5, "So in Christ we are, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to each other." And this is a revelation that we've lost somewhere. I know this because I've been out there enough. Not the fact that I get mistreated for doing something new, but the fact that, that I see what the people everywhere are being mistreated or misunderstood all within. We've been shooting our own. And I'm saying this. Don't think that I'm some, wounded guy running around yelling this out. I'm a healed guy running around yelling this out. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 through 26. Let me just read this part. "As there are many parts, but one body, the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those body parts, those parts of the body that are seen or weaker are indispensable. And there's parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And in the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty." Now, Paul's talking about, in verse 23 here, he's talking about the fact that, I happen to be an eye, I'm a seer, I happen to have a mouth that people can hear, but it is no more important to someone that is a server than someone who is humble and doing something that's the greatest in heaven. But we have to be able to to understand this. And verse 24 goes on to say, but God has combined the members of the body and given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. He was saying there should be no division in the body of Christ. But these parts must have equal concern for each other. We should love each other, in other words. And if one part suffers, listen, if one part suffers, every part suffers with us. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are suffering. The body is turned on itself. And when the body, if you think about science, when a body turns on itself, when a body turns on itself, it's like cancer. And this, again, I know that the webcast just went down, but I'm going to keep recording here. I think my website went down. But I'm going to keep recording this because this message needs to get out there. Listen to me. This message needs to get out there. And it's a weird thing that's going on these days. But God says He wants to do this. He wants to do something new. And we must come alongside of what He's doing, come into agreement. Now, I'm not sure how to begin healing the body of Christ. You know, I don't know. Start with changing our own mindset. Start with repenting ourselves. We're one no matter our doctrinal differences. Did you see the Father of Lights video? Darren Wilson did a trilogy. He did Finger of God and Furious Love, and the third one, Father of Lights, which I was in. And I was doing an outreach on Venice Beach, and there was some sign carriers, you know, that were putting people down and yelling about them going to hell. But you know what? We went up and blessed them. As much as I don't like it, they're my brother and sister in Christ. You know that? And sometimes I feel like, wow, why do our biggest representatives have to be so weird or off track? It's like it seems. Don't you ever wonder that? But we're together. Your brother and sister in Christ is never your enemy. So don't receive. Here's how we can do it. Is don't receive negative reports from other people. And we become one at the cross, and disunity actually quenches the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:12-14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another grievances that you may have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's the love that overcomes all. I'm almost done here, but I just want you to know this. I gotta release this out. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8-12 talks about the curse of Cain. Remember, Adam and Eve had Abel and Cain. And now Cain said to his brother Abel, let us go into the field where they were in the field. Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And then the Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? And then verse 10, the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you're under a curse and you're driven from the ground, which opened its mouth up to receive your brother's blood. But when you work the ground, listen, this is the curse that came upon Cain. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield crops for you, and you will be restless and wander the earth. When Cain killed his brother, God says, your brother's blood cries out to me. Did you know that when we kill other people spiritually, when we kill each other emotionally, it doesn't matter. God hears the justice of their blood crying out from the earth. And that's what's going on right now, is we've killed each other. We've been in this war not knowing who the enemy really is. And it's time, really. I believe this, that God's doing something new right now, and it's time that we step up and begin to love. You don't have to agree with everybody. In fact, that's the good thing about it. You don't have to agree, but we do have to love. Jesus didn't say love everybody. He didn't say love God with all your strength, all your soul, and all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself, as long as you agree with them, as long as their doctrine is the same as yours. He didn't say that. In fact, he said, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. And this is where we are today. And so it's the same today spiritually. we need to really break off this curse of Cain, because we have people who are not entering into the Lord's rest. We have disunity, and the body is turning upon itself. We have a theology to be one body, but we don't have a reality. I remember John Wimber saying that we have a theology that the body is one, but we don't have a reality. And so, I can see that something's going on my website. If you go over to cross.tv, you can still see it. But anyway, sorry that the website went down. I thought this message had something on it, and I'll just have to release the video of it. But John 13:35, Jesus said, "By this, everyone will know you that you are my disciples, if you love one another." You know, if you love one another, they will know we are Christians by our love for one another. And here's some steps. I try to determine when I meet a person or I encounter them. I try to determine if they're an enemy of Jesus, if they do not like God. You know, if they, that's an enemy of Jesus. They don't like God at all. Those are the tough ones to deal with. I don't really spend a lot of time. Most of them are bitter. I pray for them. Or are they an enemy to the Holy Spirit? They might be a Christian, but they think people like me or anyone who's charismatic are from Satan, which, you know, I think it's absurd if we're preaching Jesus, you know, and it doesn't make sense that people think that we're demonic without even looking at the fruit of our life. Not even looking at anything else. They're just going based on a theology. Or are they an enemy to the first, are they an enemy to the God? Or are they, second, an enemy to the Holy Spirit? Or third, are they just someone who have questions? Are they a skeptic? Because you know what? I was a skeptic. People like me, I had questions. Years ago, someone had to walk me through when, especially, I would question someone like me. And I, you know, really, I did. I questioned people like me, but I wasn't harsh about questioning. It's those people who come and ask questions are the ones who actually I like to work with and I like to deal with. And someone had come to me recently, and they said they saw me on some website that they were talking about me, and I won't mention the website name, but they were calling me a false prophet. But you know, no one bothered, not one bothered to contact me until just recently, last month, and someone emailed me and says, they're talking about you on this website. I want to know if it's true. And they said, so I told them, I sent them my statement of faith. I told them, this one person that had asked, I said, thank you very much. No one has bothered to come to me, even though it's biblical to come to a leader. It is. It's biblical to come to a brother and sister. It is biblical. It is not biblical to just launch judgment against them. And so I said, thank you very much. My goodness, at least you came and asked. And yeah, I provided them with information that I don't necessarily release publicly and why I do what I do and where my heart is in all this. So you want to determine where a person is. Sometimes you don't want to correct a fool. Sometimes people are so ingrained in their doctrine that you're just not going to win them over. And why are we in this battle anyway with each other? I don't know. But Father, we just pray right now. I pray for one body. I pray for an absolute reformation to happen, and we would begin to step into and break out of that intolerant spirit. And Father, I also pray for the winds of change to come. The winds of change that will come, or the wind of change that's going to come and is active right now and bring about this divine realignment. And also, Father, we pray for my website to be able to handle this. And we just ask God for the divine connections that we need right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So anyway, DougAddison.com is my website. Our chat is down, but we are still broadcasting on, I think it's Lightcast or Cross.TV. And I'm still on the web link on there. But we don't have any way for anyone to submit any questions right now. So I'm going to just cut it down to 30 minutes. I'm going to say a few things, and because I don't have any way for anyone to get to any. Let me just double check and see if I got any in. And because usually I have Nina in the chat room. And so we do have a few questions before the website went down. But I want to just go over a couple things first. And one is go to my website, dougaddison.com, and there's a free ebook, Night Dreams Point Towards Your Life Dreams. And all you have, oh, we're still live, someone's saying. All right. The website must have come back. Or I think it's just overly slow right now. And so some people are being kicked off as I'm getting texts and stuff are coming in. I'm on dougaddison.com, right up in that upper right-hand corner, you'll see the free ebook, Night Dreams Point Towards Your Life Dreams. And really, go in there and download that. It's got a lot of good information. Also, if you haven't done it yet, consider donating to our cause. We do this for free, and we pay a lot of money for our all the stuff we're doing right now. And so if please go to the donate button. We are a 501c3 ministry, so you know, you can, based on your you'll get a tax receipt for it anyway, and it's up to you to file whatever. But anyway, we will also be doing something. I'll be in, let's see, let me get these up here. I got an event coming up, May 14th through 17th, Arise Prophetic Conference in Abbottstown, Pennsylvania. I'm going to be there with my good friends, Jamie Galloway, Bob Hazlett, and some others. And it's at Harvest Chapel. I'll be speaking at the conference, but also on Sunday morning. And that'll be exciting. I'm really looking forward to it, to be around my Pennsylvania Global friends and all those guys back there. And also, don't forget about my daily prophetic words. You can catch them on Twitter and Facebook, Doug T. Addison on Twitter, or The Doug Addison on Facebook. And the big thing is you can get the daily prophetic word now delivered to your email on my website. Just go there, dougaddison.com, click on the daily prophetic, get it delivered to your email. I have a new, I'm working right now to release a new training on how to hear the voice of God. And it's called Hearing the Voice of God 365, an online activation school coming out in August. I will be launching, actually talking about the launch date in a little bit, working it out and all the details. You know, I hear God 365, 24/7, and I really want you to hear him that way too. And I've been doing this for a number of years, over 25 years, so I'm putting this together, this activation, this online activation school, so you don't have to leave your home, you don't have to leave your job, you don't have to take vacation or time off. You can do it at your leisure, and it's going to be so cool. Weekly activations for a year. I'm going to walk people through for a year all the things that I've learned from hearing the voice of God, how to break through, how to open the heaven over you, how to overcome that plugged up ear or that inability to discern. I don't know if it's an angel. I don't know if it's a, you know, if it's the voice of God, is the Holy Spirit or yourself. I want to train you on these things and activate. Plus, a lot of interviews and prayers of impartation from all my good friends. And so looking forward to that. Anyway, let's get to some questions. I'm going to shift over. I guess our website's back. And I went down there for a while. Let me just take a look here. Hold on. Let me make that screen bigger so I don't have to put on my glasses. Okay, here we go. We got Nina in the chat room. And people are saying your website is slow. Your webcast went down. Here we go. Yeah, be praying for us. We're under attack, and we're getting all kinds of weird stuff happen on Facebook, and also, you know, imposters. Just know this. I had people call our office this week and contact us. We're having an imposter a week. People who steal my pictures, set up a Facebook account, and get on the phone and prophesy, acting like me, asking for money for an orphanage in Africa. And I know you're probably listening. If you are, just know this, that God will shut you down. We've been taught, we've been absolutely tormented once every month, every week that Facebook shuts them down. They just start up a new one. But don't be fooled. Don't be worried about it. I don't send out friend requests. I don't have an orphanage. I won't get you on the phone and prophesy and ask you for money. I don't have an, you know, just know that. And just look at the number of friends that they have or likes. I have over 30,000 likes. And there's no one like me. So even though they might have my picture, don't worry about it. Anyway, just be praying for us. So here comes some questions. Dreams, what does it mean if you babysit a public figure? like you're babysitting some leader's kids. Well, it's probably a prayer assignment, that God's calling you to pray for them. Like this would be a big leader or something. Let's say that if you were babysitting the president's kids, that would be a different story. That means that God was giving you some new authority in the area of discipleship, because babysitting sometimes is a discipleship gift. Or if you're babysitting an actor, someone that you don't know, probably a prayer assignment or something along those lines. All right, another dream. What does it mean to have a dream that someone with a crooked or bent nose? Well, noses represent discernment. You know, you can smell it, and you can smell something's fishy. And so discernment, if they have a crooked or bent nose, it means they're lacking discernment in their life. And so you'll want to watch for those dreams. And that's the symbolism also that I release in my tattoo and piercing interpretation training. And you can take that online training. Just go to my website, DougAddison.com. It's going away very soon because I'm starting my tattoo show, but we're going to offer it for another month or two. Those who've already bought it will stay open, but the training that God's given me in this area, I'm not going to have it out there. But I talk about those different things. Eyes represent seeing, hearing. The tongue and the lips represent the ability to talk, those who articulate. It's really good stuff, you know. God gave me some revelation. And so I want to share it with you. You can take the free Jumpstart class. That's session one for free. Anyway, what does it mean? Let's see. I'm finding elevators that are from storm shelters. I guess it's a dream. Yeah, here, I'm finding elevators that are from storm shelters. So I don't quite grasp what that means, finding elevators that are storm shelters. The elevators that are actually, this is saying right now, see, the winds of change are hitting, the weather's going wacko right now. It's been an intense year. But God says, you know, just get in there, get into the shelter, a storm shelter. He will put, it's like Passover. I talked about it last month on the webcast. He will allow things to pass over you, just like the storm shelter. But check this out. The storm you're going through, I'll just release this prophetic word based on that. The storm you're going through right now is your elevator to the next level. And that's what it's saying, that God is releasing something right now to promote you. And this is for many people on the webcast. He's releasing something right now to promote you in the middle of these storms. And don't look at the storm, for crying out loud. Look at God, look for God, look for the strategy on what he's doing, and you'll do a lot better. All right, another question. Do I have anything for Canada? Yeah, a box of chocolates. I know, I'm kidding. I don't really have anything right now. I've released several words over Canada over the last 2 years. Go to my blog and just type in Canada, and you'll see that I believe that God's doing something new, and that specifically because of the prayer that's been going on, because of the unity. But you know what? People got discouraged. They set back and they stopped back, and they got to keep pushing in, Canada. Keep pushing in, because I believe what's going to happen in Canada is going to go to the UK, over to the South Africa, and hit the world. It's going to be something that's, I've been praying, and I love Canada, and I love every time I go to Canada and minister. It's an amazing time. I love my Canadian friends, and I just think that you are on something big, and I'm seeing it right now. That I'm seeing that red. I'm seeing that white, I'm seeing that this redemptive thing that's going to happen, and as unity comes together in a greater level. But don't listen to those naysayers. That's what happened. God was doing something, and it got derailed. Something that started in Toronto just a couple years ago. I don't know what is going on, but the prophetic movement started in a greater level in Toronto. And I'm not talking about the Toronto movement, airport vineyard, nothing like that. I'm just saying that I'm seeing this in the spirit right now. Something got started, but some naysayers came in and started, you know, got it off track. Get it back on. God's doing something new. I'm seeing the west coast of Canada light up, and Vancouver and that area, and it's going to affect, just going to sweep across, just break through right now, and keep trying something new. I'm so excited for you. All right, here's something new. This is a dream. Keep seeing a baby smiling face that with a huge face. I keep seeing a baby smiling face, like a huge face, I guess. And babies represent new things, you know, new jobs, new anointings, new gifts. But in the baby's smiling face, God's giving you something new, and it's the gift of encouragement. Because a smiling baby-faced is encouragement. And so giving you something new is something, and it's big. It's a big gift of encouragement, actually. I guess, are we still on? I don't even know if we're still on right now. And I know that I'm doing this for the sake of the webcast at this point. I'm sorry for the recording, because I'm not even sure if we're still on, because I don't have any dreams up in front of me. We are on, but I'm out of dreams and I'm out of anything questions. So anyway, I've been trying to talk slow at this point. And I think when we went down, I'm not sure what's going on, but I can cut the webcast short if we don't have anything. So all right, here comes one. What does it mean if you dream that someone stole your car? Well, quite often your car talks about your destiny, talks about your job, your life, your spiritual life, or your work, something along those, your family, depending on who's in it with you. So if someone stole it, that means that the enemy's trying to steal your destiny. He's trying to steal the things that you have, and it's time to really rev up right now and push back in, because you're going to see something happen from that. And here comes another one. I keep seeing $100. Well, great, then send it to me. No, I'm kidding. If you keep seeing $100 everywhere you go, or $100, God's multiplying things right now in your life. There's new favor, 10 times 10, God's doing something new in the area of favor with you. And ask him what it means. I'd look up Psalm 100 to start. Would be a good start. Okay, here comes a dream. I woke up hearing it's 11:21. What's the significance of 11:21? Well, off the top of my head, I don't really know. I mean, I would look up, I would Google Bible 11:21, see what comes up, or look up some places. That's the first thing. If God didn't speak to you already, just in general, the number of 11 is transition. Number 21 is hitting a jackpot, is hitting to something big. So God's about to transition you. Here's the prophetic word for you. Just got it. God's about to transition you into a payoff, and watch and see, because it's gonna be good. All right. So here's another one. I've been given back a jacket that I lost years ago at college. This is a dream. And so the jacket represents, clothing can represent giftings, can represent, the things that God has given you. And there was something that you got back in college there that was intended for you that's now coming back. Maybe there was a calling. Maybe there was something that you let go of. But it's coming back to you now. And I would go back and look and see what you were really felt you were destined for back at that time, and see if God's going to pull it back around right now. All right. So what does a big dinosaur-sized iguana with teeth breaking, what does it mean in a dream? A big dinosaur-sized iguana with teeth breaking. Well, anything that's dinosaur, or like iguanas, or something that's big and dinosaurish, and iguanas that look like a dinosaur, usually is a religious spirit, something that should have that was dead long ago and is still alive. And with the teeth breaking, you're dealing with a spirit of people with religion that lacks love, and teeth is lacking wisdom. The breaking teeth is lacking wisdom. So there's people around you who are operating in what we call a religious spirit, but some people might not know what that is, but that is they look like resemblance of Jesus, but they don't have his love. And they operate really strict rules, and they don't know about grace, and they're outdated right now, because that's not what God is actually doing. So, we pray and ask God to release you from that, or ask God to give you more revelation. All right, here's another one. I had a dream. My friend got married and had only one bridesmaid. What could that mean? Well, it could be reality or not. Your friend got married, it just depends. But having only one bridesmaid, it probably is saying something about your friend. That your friend has goes deep. There's something new. Usually getting married is a new promise from the Lord. It's a new covenant from God. That's what I really believe this is. It's a new calling, and it's going to require someone to come alongside in agreement, to agree together. That's all they needed, to agree together, and it will be done. I will begin to pray for your friend and see if something new doesn't come out of it and find out, too. That would be interesting. Here's another dream. I dreamed that for my birthday, I received a lion bicycle. I love lion bicycles. I've never seen a lion bicycle. As a gift, a big head. You know, it had a big head, too. So here's a big-headed lion bicycle. Oh, my goodness. You know, the lion can represent two things. One, the Lion of Judah, which is God, or that lion, you know, roaming around or, you know, trying to represent the enemy, trying to devour you. In this case, it's the Lord. And bicycles, again, like cars, bicycles talk about ministries, callings, and things. And it's saying that God is giving you. Is at a big head. God is giving you a ministry that's real agile. It doesn't have to be big, but it carries power. It carries the roar. It carries those things. And so watch this, because that is authority as God opens things up for you. It's real interesting. Wow. All right. Good stuff. Thank you, Nina, for typing these in very fast. We've got a few more. All right. I had a dream that I was flying over Africa low enough to see a bunch of natives standing on the side of the road and trees, with trees, and a little white church. Well, it's probably showing you that there's a, you know, it's an intercession call that you have this dream that you're flying over Africa. There's a connection somehow with Africa, either literally or, which means you could go take a trip over there or support it, or intercession or prophetically where you pray and intercede, because it's showing that there's people there that that need help. They need prayer right now, or God wouldn't be showing you that. All right. What does it? What does a reoccurring dream about I don't know what the word is, but anyway, it's a word bigger than I can pronounce. But it's something about love. And what does a reoccurring dream about unacquitted love? I think it is. I don't have my glasses on. Thank you. And anyway. It's just saying that if you're having a reoccurring dream about love, that it is the fact that God is doing something new in love in your life, and it can't be quenched. You know, that He's drawing you through something. It's very, very intimate, and it is a time really of your life right now to press into Him, and that's what He's doing right now. And so, anyway, we got a few more. And let me hold on a second here. I dreamed that someone was running some kind of test, and they were taking tests. And anyway, they were taking some type of test. I am really struggling on words tonight. I don't know why. Sorry, guys. Anyway, hold on. So, sorry, I'm shameless on my English, apparently. But apparently taking tests talks about, you know, different things that, you know, that God's testing you on. And let me just do this. And you're walking through a time right now of, you know, being tested, because He's going to promote you. And so, here's another one. I had a dream that two doors were before me. One was locked and one was open. And, well, this is two opportunities. One's going to be closed and one is absolutely going to be open. And watch for that. In fact, I've been releasing on my blog, so you know, I've been releasing two blogs a week at least, and I've been really writing, and my team has been going at it, and we're posting a lot of blogs right now. If you're not signed up, you can go to DougAddison.com, click on my blog. You can actually put your email address in to be notified every time one gets updated, and I actually have a blog coming up. I just remember writing it, where I talk about the hearing God, about the closed door. The closed door technique to hear God. This is usually what people do, and that's why I'm going to be teaching this in my course. This is why people fail at hearing God, is they say, God, close every door except the right one. You know, he'll only do that at the beginning. My goodness, he wants to spoon feed. He doesn't want to spoon feed you. He wants you to know what to go through. And so, therefore, using the closed door technique doesn't always work, and it throws some people off. And that's why some people make these mistakes and end up down the wrong road. And I'm talking to some people right now that you need to go back and regroup and get out of that situation and ask the Lord. But in this case, with this dream, this is saying God's going to really be cool. He's going to lock one door for you so that you can go in the right direction. All right. What does it mean to have a dream that Bob and Bonnie Jones sent me a text message? And the message was, it's a brand new year. Well, it's a prophetic word, for you, that this is a time that all things are going to be new. And great stuff. Here we go. I had another dream. I had a dream that Kim Clement and I traded wallets. What does that mean? Well, wallets usually talk about identity. And identity of, you know, who you are. And because Kim Clement's a prophet, doesn't mean that you are a prophet, but it's saying that God is going to use your prophetic gift. And you suddenly have His. And God's going to use your prophetic gift, and He's going to increase it right now. And it's going to be a really, really cool time. All right. I'm going to take a drink of water while I wait for some more to come in. Okie dokie. For those who are listening to the podcast, thank you. It's on iTunes. Thank you very much. And share it with people. And also give me some feedback, would you? It helps on iTunes if we get feedback, if you leave a review, and if you get other people to download it as well. Here comes something else. We have another one coming in. Let's see. I have a reoccurring dream that I'm standing in front of a big bronze gate, and I have a key, and a voice says that I have the key, and however, I don't know how to turn the key. All right, well, a big bronze gate is an opening of something new in the heavens. God's opening something in the heavenly realm, in other words, the spiritual realm. He's going to open something. You have the key to it, but you don't know how to turn it. In other words, you have everything you need right now. All the resources are there. All the heavenly resources are there. You just need someone to show you how to do it, and that's when training and mentoring comes in. And I just released this word about the key angel. Actually, it was on my blog and last month's word about the key angel dream I had. And it really reminds me of that, is that, wow, I had to go call on the Lord, or call on an angel to help me to be able to open the key up and open things up into a new level. So we just ask God to do that, open the key, show him how to find the new thing, this new opportunity. All right, here's another question. What does dreaming of mice mean? Well, mice are there when garbage is left out, rodents come along. It's saying you got some stuff to clean up in your life. It doesn't mean it's something major. Usually it's gossip or unforgiveness, things like that. Whenever you see mice, it's always good to clean house. That's a good indicator, mice or rats as well. What is a stained garment mean? Well, it depends on who's wearing. Is it your stained garment? Someone else's stained garment? Garments or clothing often represent gifts, callings, mantles, anointings, things like that. So if it's stained, means it needs to be cleaned up. It means to be laundered. You need to take that gift and get it cleaned up. Get it, you know, in a play, in a way that will also be able to be used at a greater level. All gifts need to be cleaned up. Everything needs to. There's been a big misunderstanding about that. Some people say, oh, I only get trained by the Lord, nobody else. That is absolutely ludicrous. You haven't understood the Bible, because Jesus trained the disciples. This is what's wrong with the prophetic movement right now, is people are an island. You can't be an island. You need to be mentored. You know, the school of the prophets was instituted by Samuel. And, David, he even mentored. People mentor, and people need to be trained. You are not a lone ranger. This is the prophetic. I'm calling people back in right now. We have to get trained. I know you might not like it, because you've been wounded by people That's because you probably have been prophesying in the wrong places. You might prophesy into the same place over and over with people with the teaching gift, or the, you know, that might be theologians in the teaching gift. They don't understand you. Then you might need to use your gifts in a different area and be received. But I'm just calling people back in right now. This is a time for us to come in and learn and be trained and get the gifts going again. That's the stained garments that happens because people throw up on you, you know. And I know I've been there. Where, hey, you're talking to a wounded warrior here who's had to walk this road, and I know what you mean. I feel for you. So what does it mean if you're giving rows of gold necklaces and I put it on? Well, a golden necklace talks about a calling or some type of something that is, you know, from the Lord, of course, but it is new authority that's coming, and there's rows of them. It's going to come in waves, and you're putting it on. You're stepping into it right now. Gold, though, notice that it's under pressure. You know, it's you've been under the pressure, and it's something that God's doing right now. All right, here comes another one. Wow, we got them rolling in. What? Let's see, where is it? What does a choir or chorus mean in a dream? I've had 4 dreams in the past month, and I'm either singing in a choir or helping with the choir director. Well, notice a choir, and I've sang in choirs. A choir is not really a band or a solo singer. It's sections, and it's like what I was talking about tonight, the body of Christ. And you are helping the director, and that's the Holy Spirit's the director of the choir. And the Lord is doing something right now to bring unity around you. That's exactly what that dream means, and especially if it's reoccurring, that part of it is that He's calling you to His chorus. He's calling you to be a ministry of reconciliation, to bring healing, and with people all around you right now. Okay, what else we have? I have a reoccurring dreams that I have to pee really bad, but I can't find the bathroom or the toilet. What does that mean? Well, bathroom dreams talk about cleansing. We all need it. We all go. But there's a cleansing you need. You can't find the bathroom. It means you haven't found the ministry yet that you need. And if those people are, there's thousands of people who are having this dream. And that means, like, what might work with one person, maybe Sozo Ministry works for you, but maybe Elijah House or Restoring the Foundations or some other type of healing might work for you. It's not one size fits all, you know. And it's saying that there's some healing that you need, some cleansing that you need, and you just haven't found that ministry yet. So begin to pray and ask God to open the door for you. All right. Here's a dream that I love someone, but they don't love me back. All right. Hey, I'm not going to get into the ins and outs of who it is or what it is. But it's saying that just to love right now is to walk through this season, to even love, even though people don't love you. Might be telling you a heads up to have boundaries right now. There's all kinds of different things that it might be. But we're all being called to love. We're all being called to love one another, and this is an indicator in that dream that that's what you've been called to. And I know it probably is a relationship or something like that, because that's what most people ask about prophetically. Does that mean I'm going to be married to him? What's going on? And I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to ask God to reveal that to you instead. All right. I had a dream that I was pregnant with twin boys. And again, the babies talk about new things. The fact that it was twin boys, it's going to be double. And whether it was boys or girls, hey, you know, it doesn't make that big of a difference, but there's something double coming into your life right now. Hey, I saw a lizard at your front door. Mine or someone else's? I don't know if you're talking about me. You saw a lizard at my front door? All right. That's the religious spirit. That's what we're going through right now. We're under an attack of the religious spirit right now. And boy, oh boy. It's tough because when the religious spirit comes against you, they still have authority in heaven. They don't understand you. And the old will hold on. My goodness, the old will kill. Every new movement of God that starts, the old comes along and tries to quench it. And that's what's going on with me right now, because we're doing new stuff, ministering places that most people won't go, doing stand-up comedy, doing tattoos and dreams, ministering in gay and lesbian churches. Hey, you know what? I'm not compromising. I'm not changing anything except this. God says to love. He says to love one another. And so, yes, the religious spirit is pounding at my door right now. That's why we're increasing our intercession, saying, God, fight our battles for us. Pretty bizarre. What is the difference of black ink tattoos compared to colored tattoos? Well, it could be that they didn't have enough money for color. I don't know. But some people prefer that style, the black ink tattoos. I think it's a preference because it's an art. And I don't think that the color really means that they may be more expressive. Here's what I would look for more is it picture tattoos, images, or is it writing? Because the pictures and the writing tell more about the person. Writing talks about the depth that they have. Pictures, they tend to be more visual. The writing, I don't know. It just depends on where it is and everything, but it's one of the things I started to notice when I started taking notes. What does it mean when I'm called a chair? You're called a chair. I'm not sure what that means, but someone's calling you a chair. I'm not sure, but if someone is calling you a chair, it doesn't make sense to me. But I would say this chair represents position, and that God's calling you to a different position right now. He's calling you to a higher level. All right, hey, we've done a great job. I just want to say thanks to Nina in the chat room for chatting all this stuff in, and I know our fingers were going away. I don't know, or going away fast. I don't know if we're if the webcast went down. We're going to do something. We're going to hire a company. We're going to do something to get my webcast going. Every other month or every few months, just my website goes down, and it's a mystery. But I'm at the point right now to do something drastic because I don't want these things to go down. I don't want when I have 5,000 people come to my website. Don't forget about my website, DougAddison.com, my daily prophetic words that are on Twitter and Facebook, and also you can get them delivered to your email address right now, and also be watching for the launch date. We're going to come out with a launch date about hearing the voice of God 365. Hey, I'll have a special this month. I'll be running the video I just mentioned that I was in, which is Father of Lights. We're going to have this on my website as well. I just want to say thank you guys, Father. I just release now everything that's needed. Release the winds of change. Release the wind of change. Release all the change in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. See you on Facebook. Also, I'll see you next month.